We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, and they're celebrating 85 years all this year with great deals for you and really cool promotions as well. Right now, for the month of April, you can get a great deal on a new credit card. They also do all the services that a bank can do. Just head on over to tvacreditunion.com to learn more. That's tvacreditunion.com. They've got over 20 branches conveniently located for you all around East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. How am I supposed to do a radio show with Grit tagging us with pictures of Jim Chaney and babies and referencing giant milk?
Breast milk.
If you saw Game of Thrones on
I don't know how to,
Sunday night.
I don't know.
How
stay
am
focused,
I,
man.
How am I supposed to, you know, just keep it together with these things popping up in the timeline?
Hang on real quick.
Yeah.
You mentioned Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Wanted to alert everyone about their annual Shred Day. Mm-hmm. Spring Shred Day.
Oh.
May 4th at Hardin Valley Academy, 9 a.m. to noon, or until the trucks are full. If you have paperwork that needs shredding, protect yourself from identity theft, you can take it there. They will shred it all and get rid of it for you.
Nice.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Again, Saturday, May 4th, Hardin Valley Academy, 9 a.m. to noon. Open to the entire community. If you have any questions about what materials are acceptable, just go to tvacreditunion.com/shred. It's Shred Day. That's what Davey calls Chest Day at Gold's. Shred Day.
Get shredded.
Shred Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty nice, that's a nice offer, though. Well, I know some people who have just filing cabinets of stuff that needs to get shredded.
Well, I don't know how to do it.
Like your mother?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
He brought my dad in the show earlier, so I figured I'd just
wow.
go for it.
No, yeah, it's my mom. She's a, for her job, she has to keep paperwork for like 4 years from some of these
that.
Events and
that
stuff.
Stinks.
So she's, I mean,
nothing
to,
worse than
maybe just load it up in the truck. Just go on over to Hardin Valley on May 4th and say, thanks, TVA.
I got a couple bags at the house. We have a shredder, but it, you know, it's small.
Yeah, like one at a time.
Doesn't do a great
job.
It
sounds like this is just a, they're going to have a paper, a chipper shredder. Just throw it in there and
throw it in the
gone.
Big trucks and
yeah.
goes to the
gone.
Industrial. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's nice. May 4th. That's a, I think it's a Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday, May 4th.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Nine to 12, noon.
So pretty convenient for you there.
Noah J. Robinson tweets in.
Clutch.
Jordan Latham Bone, active on UT's student
sorry
roster,
at
student
the,
enrollment list.
At the bottom it says partner in the Tennessee transfer, and I read
portal
instead of pathway.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, is this the transfer portal?
No. We're not doing that. He's not in the transfer portal. I'm coming back to school, but I'm transferring.
To UCLA.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd already filed
my paperwork
before Rick Barnes didn't take the job. I love Rick Barnes.
Rod called in, asked if it was true that Jordan Bone had withdrawn from school. At least according to the UTK student directory, he is still an active student.
How do we know this is updated to the day, though? Like,
I mean, God, we don't, man. I'm just telling you what it says. I don't write the stuff. Noah did a good job. He was Detective Noah, fan run out there, just helping. We crowdsourced this information.
It's true.
Jordan Bone, active in the student directory. That's all I know.
That's all we know.
You got call him. I don't know. Don't get mad at me because you're just trying to poke holes in this theory
no,
that
I'm
he
not.
Might come back.
I'm just trying to
how do we know
make
this
sure
is
give
real.
All the information.
I don't know if it's real. I just know it's accurate as of now.
I just
gotta support these boys.
I don't want to flip over to insider recruiting sites and their message boards and see Houston Crest reported that Jordan Bone's still enrolled in
school. I didn't report that. I just said that's what UT said.
And then I'll have to see all the replies about Houston Crest isn't a reporter. He doesn't know anything. Like, I hate getting blamed for, I'm just trying
it
to
it sounds like I'm
ourselves.
The one getting blamed, and I don't give a damn. So I'm just telling you what the student directory says. I can handle it. They want to say he's not a reporter. That's fine. The reporters get it wrong more than we do.
Good point.
We guessed on why Rick Barnes would go to UCLA, and we're right. They had people boots on the ground and couldn't get this story right.
I feel a new liner coming on. Fan Run Radio, where we guess the breaking news. Yeah.
I'm working on one now in my head.
Is it Jeff Brom to Tennessee?
That's a good one, too. No, I'm just saying, like, he's Noah checked the directory. No, he's
that's
in
great
there.
Work by Noah. I'm not knocking that at all.
Rod asked, I delivered via Noah.
Money.
I'm just the vessel. Noah did the work. I deliver it. Liaison.
Mm-hmm.
Liaison Crest, they call me.
Are we worried? So we talked about Rob Lanier. No, hang on. I haven't asked the question
Well,
yet.
I'm just going to tell you whatever.
Easy, Trigger. Easy.
Well, you stopped it worried. Whoa. So, yes, we're a little bit worried.
That's an easy question for any Vol fan.
Yeah. Your secretariat over here. Like, I haven't even, like, kicked you, and you're just off you go. Hold tight.
Don't get mad.
Hold.
You're asking me if I'm worried.
Hold.
I'm telling you, yes, I don't really care what the setup question is.
Hold.
I'm just telling you I'm worried. What's your question?
I can't even remember now.
See, then yes, I am worried. This just, everything's feeling wobbly. Right? I mean, is that a good way to describe this right now? It was pretty strong the whole time, and now it just feels a little wobbly. A little unsure.
I was just thinking about how yesterday we were kind of having a discussion about everything's going great for Tennessee athletics, and just within less than 24 hours, we're like, oh my gosh, the train's wobbling off the tracks. I don't know if it'll maintain.
I honestly can't remember the
collision
question
course.
I was going to ask you a second ago, and it's driving me nuts. This
must not have been that important.
It was important.
I don't think it was that important. Man alive, I can't believe we're having this discussion. I cannot believe that we are potentially unraveling behind the scenes in basketball after this year. Why'd I have to say before the season? There's no drama with this team.
You did.
And then
say
all
that.
Season, there really wasn't. But man, right after the season, we got a little bit of drama.
You can't live in your own fears, Houston.
We got player tweets.
That
we
got fired.
Twice in the same year. We got player tweets. We got a coach trying to get out of here. We got assistants leaving. The guy gets a raise. We did hire Kim English. He seems to be impressive.
Wait. Okay, I remember my question.
Okay. Am I worried?
Are you worried?
Yes. We've gone over this.
You mentioned Rob Lanier taking the Georgia State job, and Rick Barnes couldn't really go after him to keep him because Rick Barnes had one foot out the door as that conversation was happening. A lot of people have said before that Rob Lanier was doing all the work, like that it was Rick Barnes just kind of licking his lips on game day as he chewed his sunflower seeds. And
what is he? Does he spit the?
I don't know.
Does he spit the shell on the floor?
I don't think so. He's got a cup.
Oh, okay.
You have a cup.
Man, I had an old basketball coach that would whip your butt if you did something like that. He's an old school guy. There's no way he spits those on the court. He's probably a don't wear nice shoes on the court unless you're the coach type of guy too.
I'm sure. But, I mean, you mentioned recruiting going well. I feel like recruiting's only going about as well as people had thought it would go like before. It's not like it's going extremely well. It's not like it's just up to expectations.
I mean,
now,
you got
right?
a McDonald's All-American. Like he's your highest rated player since Tobias Harris and Scottie Hobson. I mean,
that's what I'm saying though. You're fulfilling the expectations that people kind of had for this.
I don't know that McDonald's All-Americans are the expectation, but I mean, DJ Burns was a 4-star. Was Gaines a 3, right?
Yeah, him and Pember, Pember both.
Pember's 3. If they can get Cone to reclassify, that's a 4-star.
My question is, are you worried that you might have lost maybe one of your best workers as you keep Rick Barnes, who is now known
well,
when
sure.
he called UCLA?
Sure. But I also think that the addition of Kim English is a pretty strong move. So I guess
maybe it's a net wash.
We'll just kind of, I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not ready to panic or celebrate it just yet. But you got a guy who is very highly thought of to replace Rob Lanier. So I still think you're okay. It's not like you lost Rob Lanier and now who's the other 5-star in the 2020 class that's committed?
No one. Who are you talking about?
Yes.
Are you talking
we have one
Corey Walker?
Corey
for
Walker
the next
thank
year?
You. Yeah. Walker.
Is he a 5-star?
Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, there's another 5-star. Hater.
I'm not. I just tried to ask a good question. Like, you're losing, you know, the top lieutenant here. He's a 4-star, by the way.
Not on all the sites.
Okay.
What are you arguing with me for? What are you doing?
I'm not. No, I agree with you. I think the recruiting is good. I think the recruiting is kind of where people that complained about the recruiting wanted it to just be there, wanted it to be here sooner. So they're
24/7 Sports has him as a 5-star. 23rd best player in the country.
They're getting their wish. It's just taking a little longer than I think, you know, than some people hoped, or they thought there'd be a little more of a build up that you'd have, like, you know, some guys in this previous classes that were just a little better before you then landed these types
right.
of players.
Right, and I think that and I've talked about that the whole time. There's a little bit of a gap right now. You needed the recruiting to pick up a year earlier than it did, which is why before we got Josiah James and DJ Burns, we were kind of having the recruiting discussion. Okay, we need to be looking ahead because if you lose Grant next year, you're going to lose Admiral and you're going to lose Kyle. We didn't really have Bowen on the list, but now that's there too. You really needed to have someone else in line, either developed or recruited, to be, you know, in your lineup, scoring a lot of points, being an impact player. And if you lose those four guys, now it becomes the Josiah James show. And that might not be enough. You might not have enough, especially on the inside, because we haven't seen DJ Burns. We have no idea. I love John Fulkerson. He gives great effort. He's kind of a foul machine, and he's not very offensively gifted. Maybe he takes a big jump going into year three. We talked about Eve Pons, athletic freak, good on defense or really, really bad on defense, depending on the night. He's not going to give you many points. You got to go get some guys who can score. Now, if you bring Cone in, does that allow Lamonte to play the two, assuming he's healthy? So you've got maybe Bowden on one side, Lamonte on the other, Cone bringing the ball up, and then whoever's better between Burns and Fulkerson starts at the five, and then Josiah James at the four, but maybe it's the point four. Like, you've got some options. You're still not going to have much depth. Like, you need more talented scorers deeper into your bench because we talked about that this year. Early in the year, it was how Tennessee's so deep. Not when it comes to scoring, they were not. It was six guys.
Well, they weren't deep at the end of the year.
No, they weren't.
The guys, they didn't get better during the season. They got worse.
Right. So we, and that's why, we, you know, Davey and I were talking yesterday, if you can go get Blackshear or another grad transfer who can come in and give you, I think specifically you're going to need somebody in the paint with scoring ability, rebounding ability, and so forth, especially as you kind of work DJ Burns into it. Because Fulkerson, again, unless he just goes offensively crazy between now and the start of next season, you kind of know what you're going to get from him. Like, a max output night is like 8 to 10 points if he plays those types of minutes. Can you go get a Blackshear, a guy who can come in and give you 15 points and 10 rebounds a night? If you do something like that, everything kind of changes. Even if you lose Grant, Bone, Admiral, and Kyle, you bring in Blackshear, that's probably a net plus over Kyle Alexander, and I love Kyle Alexander. Blackshear is just a better player. Now, losing Grant, that takes out a big, big part of your offense, but maybe adding Blackshear, James, and then allowing your guards to do kind of what they've done, if you can get Cone ready, you could still be formidable on your first five. Still not going to have much depth. Unless, again, Jalen Johnson takes a big step, Derek Walker takes a big step. Maybe, I don't know, can Pember come in and just be a three-point specialist after he gains 50 pounds?
I don't know that he's that good a shooter. I mean, he's a good shooter because he's a good shooter for being 6'10" or 6'11", or whatever he is. I don't know that he's like he's a good shooter because guys his size don't typically have to go out and defend the three-point line. I don't know that he's going to, you know, be able to just light people up right out of the gate, especially.
You're going to need some scoring.
The big question
off the bench.
The big question is going to boil down to, did the guys on this year's team, most if not all or who are leaving, did they get so much better because of the development of this coaching staff that's a repeatable thing with more players on and on and on down the line? Or was it mainly because these kids were just extremely special, especially like Admiral and Grant and even Bone to some degree and Alexander to a little lesser? Or is it, I mean, it's somewhere in the middle of those two things, either all the players, all the coaching. It's somewhere in the middle, but how much of it is which, and how does it then, you know, extrapolate to other players is going to be the big question. Because if Eve Pons next year looks the same way as he did this year, we're going to say, yeah, maybe it wasn't so much the coaching. Maybe Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are just really special people.
Right.
And really special players.
Well, Bone, too. I mean, he's like a big step forward.
So, I mean, that'll be, I think, the big debate. Let's go back to the phone lines and grab Jay, 865-546-8200, if you want to join the program. What's up, Jay?
Guys, good morning.
Morning, bud.
Hey, this Rick Barnes stuff, you know, it doesn't change for me because it basically confirms what I believed and thought all along, and that is Rick Barnes wanted to leave here. You know, for whatever reason, he wanted to go to UCLA. And the whole thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way about all this is that, you know, and then after his press conference and all that, but is that I feel like Rick Barnes is here because UCLA screwed up and not because Rick Barnes, I'm not saying Rick Barnes doesn't like it here, but he's not here because he just couldn't leave Tennessee because he loves Tennessee. He loves the state, the community so much that he just couldn't leave to go to UCLA. He wanted to leave. UCLA screwed up. And if this Seth Davis story is true, I mean, that just pretty much confirms at least what I've thought all along, does it not? I mean, he wanted to leave.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, assuming that's true. But, again, I mean, we knew he – regardless of who reached out to whom first, like, we also knew that the UCLA job was one that he coveted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question. Like, is it just UCLA or was it a – like, was this a UCLA is great thing and it really had nothing to do with Tennessee, or is it a little bit of both? Or is there, in Rick Barnes' mind, is there something wrong at Tennessee? Like, it's one of those three, right? Either it didn't matter where I was, UCLA was my dream job, I was going to reach out no matter what mm-hmm. position I was in, no matter what job across the country. Is it, yeah, UCLA is pretty good and things aren't great here, I'll kick the tires? Or is it any job that was going to come open, I was going to put my name in it for, because I'm just – Tennessee's not doing it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, he turned down Kentucky when he was at Texas twice, I believe. So that's a blue blood. I mean, it may be UCLA and his relationship with John Wooden, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just being petty that I feel like he just kind of backtracked and he kind of backwalked back into this job, you know, Tennessee. Like, he kind of said, oh, okay, well, maybe I need to backtrack here because UCLA's not doing what I thought they were going to do. So, oh, yeah, Tennessee, I want to stay. Like, okay, well, I mean, it just kind of changes things how I see him, I guess.
And I think that's okay, at least right now. Like, we just don't really know. We don't know enough, other than he definitely – coveted the UCLA job, and had they been willing to pay the $5 million buyout, he was gone. But I don't know that means something's wrong with Tennessee. There's just a lot of other things going on that are kind of making you think it's possible.
But you know what? Out of all of this, guys, I mean, I think it's better that we keep Rick Barnes. We obviously don't need another coaching search, but am I wrong in this to say that this kind of sends a message to the rest of the country that Tennessee is a good basketball job, and Tennessee will pay top dollar. Whenever Rick does end up leaving, I think he'll leave it on pretty stable footing. But does that not attract more coaches to say, hey, Tennessee will pay the money? They got great facilities. They get really good fan support. They got a practice facility. I mean, all these things that go into it. But, hey, they'll pay the money now to run a top-end program. Do you think coaches will remember this when it is time? You know, when Rick Barnes retires and we have to hire a new coach?
In a word, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a positive for us.
Their agents will remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, thanks for the call, Jay. I think you've gotten – because people really did love Rick Barnes kind of before this, and many, I guess, still do and will, like, you've kind of set a new bar at Tennessee for the basketball coach. So it probably does take you to that next step, which ultimately is a good thing. I mean, you can still, if when Rick Barnes leaves, you still want to go out and get like the hottest, you know, mid-major whatever who everybody thinks is going to be a star, and you decide to pay him a little less than maybe you would pay the established star that you try and steal from another school. If those are your top two candidates, like, okay, we know this guy will be good, but will he come here from this other school, which seems about the same level, and you're after that guy, and at the same time you're trying to go after the young up-and-coming star. Like, I'm not talking about digging down deep and hoping somebody's good. I'm talking about, like, the top guy on the market that, like, just went to the Sweet 16 with his, you know, 12-seed or whatever. You can still go back and pay the second guy, the younger guy, a little less, but you know that you kind of set up the administration and the fan base and everyone and the agents, like Davey said, to know that you are willing to play big boy basketball with the financials. You're not going to have that stigma out there that, well, Tennessee will never pay their basketball coach at the top end of the salary scale, because they're overpaying their basketball coach right now. Let's go back to the phone lines before the break and grab Westchester. What's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Good, Westchester. How are you?
Good. Occasionally y'all say something that I got to stop and give you a chance to rescind it before I give you too much heck on it. We're paying the third highest paid coach in the country $5 million a year, and McDonald's All-Americans are not a recruiting expectation.
I just meant, like, at Tennessee in general. I mean,
well, we were talking about the people like 2 years ago, Westchester, saying that Rick Barnes isn't working hard enough in recruiting. I think the expectation now, I mean, like now it is, right, Houston?
I mean, like all-time expectation. Like, you don't expect a class full of McDonald's All-Americans. Tennessee has got
one a year now.
Okay. All right. One McDonald's All-American a year. And that's just because we're paying Rick Barnes or
that's because we have the third highest paid coach in the country. You better produce. I think one a year is
okay. Now that's
worst
fair.
One every two.
Yeah,
that's worst one every two.
That's fair. And again, he's only, well, he technically hadn't signed the contract yet, but he's only been the third highest paid coach for like 2 weeks. I'm saying leading up to that conversation, just in Tennessee's history, it's kind of like once every 4 or 5 years you get one of those players. You get Vincent Yarbrough. You get Scotty Hobson. You get Robert Hubbs. You get Tobias Harris. And now you get Josiah James. Meanwhile, in fairness, like, Rick Barnes has turned Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams into McDonald's All-American type players and then some. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of a caveat there. But I agree. At this point, like, I think the expectations do go up. I think if you're Philip Fulmer, you're saying, hey, you're making 4.75. You need to work a little harder on the recruiting trail. I don't need to hear your coaches saying that you have worked hard enough to not have to recruit. I need to see you game planning. I need to see you, studying new offense. Like, all these things, like, you need to now work a little bit harder to make sure that this money we're paying you pays dividends for us in the long run.
And, now that I said it out loud, I don't want one a class. I want two every 4 years because I don't want a bunch of one and dones.
That's fair.
Want someone that, you know, I don't want to turn into that program. I don't mind three and outs, but I don't want one and done. So I say two every 4 years is the new standard for McDonald's All-American recruiting. And he just has to step it up big time overall.
Well, I mean, there's no more.
I'm going to turn these three stars into five star players. I don't think that cuts it anymore. Even if it has worked, I don't think that's acceptable anymore.
Well, I mean, there's 24 McDonald's All-Americans every year. You're kind of stuck on the Sweet 16 at the moment. Obviously some teams can sign multiple guys, but the numbers kind of bear that out. I mean, I think two every 4 years, and it depends on the other players too. Like, if you're just getting one guy each year, and then the rest of your class is guys that never contribute, then it's not good enough. I mean, you got to be kind of up and down
overall,
the board. Virginia
right.
just won the national championship because they had two classes that basically had a bunch of high end four stars that all were really good. You know, they might not have had that one superstar, but they had a bunch of guys on the floor that were like, I don't know if Tennessee fans realize this, but Virginia's, like, every guy they rolled out was a better recruit coming out of high school than any guy on Tennessee's entire roster. And Virginia was a team hated for lack of talent, right? So I mean, that's a big slap in the reality check for Tennessee fans.
Yeah. All right, thanks guys. Have a good show.
Thanks, Westchester.
Thanks for the call. I mean, I think that's an important distinction. I mean, when you come in and there's nothing really to point to, it is hard to land those players. But now that you're like, hey, we're a tournament team, we're a Sweet 16 team, You know, we need you to put us over the hump. We're putting guys in the NBA. Like, this is Tennessee. Look at the attendance we've had the last couple years. Look at our facilities. Look at everything. Like, it's on to phase two now in recruiting.
Agree. And I go back to this, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I do think that when Rick Barnes got here, this job, this program, was in desperate need of repair, more so probably than people around the program, and I'm talking about the fans that follow it, realized.
Yeah.
After the Konzo Martin situation, regardless of your stance on that, and after Donnie Tindall, like, this was a dirty program, and I don't mean cheating. I just mean in the eyes of college basketball. It's like, oh man, they're broken. They can't get it right. They get to a Sweet 16. Their coach takes a pay cut and goes to California. They hire the next guy. Fans like him. Oh, he's crooked and dirty, and look at his long. Oh, 10-year show cost. Like, Rick Barnes had to come in and, you know, kind of do it the hard way. And that's what I meant when I said I don't think the expectation on day one for any coach here is McDonald's All-Americans. But I do think, to Westchester's point, now, yeah, man, like, now that we know you can, and now that the thing is built and kind of running smoothly, yeah, like, we need to be in with those types of prospects. I don't know. It doesn't have to be McDonald's All-Americans to me, but it does need to be top 100 players. It needs to be top 50 players. You know, one or two when you're going after them. And right now, they're doing that. Like I said, Corey Walker, top 30 player, depending on, you know, which service you're using. Josiah James, obviously, top 15 player. DJ Burns, top 100 player. If they get Cone's what, 84, Davey, is that
something
right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's 83rd. But he will drop
right,
due to
once
reclassification.
He reclassifies. I'm just saying, you're in on a top 100 player for his class. You're going to reclassify him to get him here earlier if you get him. That's still a top 100 player to me. But I think it's fair. With that kind of money, yeah, man, you're probably going to have to work a little harder. Money goes up, work goes up.
We'll come back with more hour number two of Three Now. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Talking fallout from the news. Rick Barnes actually called UCLA. Seth Davis reported that for The Athletic yesterday, late morning. Very, very strange. It makes that LA Times writer at least a little bit more off the hook. I mean, he still fell for the fake account and then double downed on it, which is, it's always fun when media members do that. I don't know why they don't just say, yep, sorry, was
but
wrong.
Got me.
Yeah.
Got me.
Just make themselves look dumber by trying to play it off or... BCV is trying to ask Noah if Grant is still
goodness
enrolled in classes. Trying to do searches on that one. It'd feel really weird if Bone left and Grant came back, right?
Yeah. I'd say that'd be like, safe to say.
What
it'd
the hell's
feel weird.
Going on here?
Feel kind of weird.
I just don't get it.
It's okay. It's over. We move on. Push forward.
I think moving on, that's the deal, right? It's just like everyone's gonna judge Rick Barnes. Just, I don't know if harshly is the right word, but like, there, people aren't gonna have any patience for missteps now, for bad performances now.
No, and we said that from the moment, you know, that UCLA was a serious option for him. Like, now people are probably gonna judge him and kind of view him a little bit differently. I think now it has become more of a business relationship, right? Mm-hmm. With a lot of the fans. Some of them are obviously still going to love him, like all the people telling us, hey, talk about something else. It's like, no, this is kind of a big deal. There's not much else going on. It's kind of a storyline. But yeah, I think a lot of people are now saying, oh, well, maybe he, and I don't think it's a, maybe he's not working as hard here as he should be. I just think it's a, okay, well, I thought this was his dream job. I thought he was really happy here. And now it's apparent that there were other options. So now it's okay. Well, You just kind of see it for what it is.
Yeah.
So I think people, yeah, they're going to look at wins and losses. They're going to look at recruiting a little more, and you're probably not going to be given as much leeway when things go poorly. Maybe you don't sign the player that everyone thought you were going to get, or a last-second play isn't diagrammed well. You know, that type of thing. I just don't think he's going to get as many free passes now, which is fine. Like, that's okay. Like, that's expectations. As Westchester said, he's making a lot more money now. The expectation should go up. I guess my question is, like, how much do we raise the expectations? Like, just because we're giving a guy more money, do we expect him to just suddenly be a different coach? And what would that say if all of a sudden he got so much better? Like, it's like, what were you? Were you sandbagging this man? Were you like, I see what I can do? Imagine if I tried. You know, for $1.5 million, I'll try. It's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, you don't want to start going down that spiral. That said, I do think maybe there's a chance, I don't want to say reinvent himself, but maybe being more open to other ideas, to other advancements of your, especially offensive system, to teaching, to time spent on the recruiting trail, so on and so forth. Yeah, like, I think you can expect, and really, if you're Philip Plummer, you could probably demand a lot of that stuff. So, hey, 4.75, like, we need the results that we think you can get. And now you have every possible resource to get them. Like, we're taking care of you. You now know that you're safe here. You know that your family's taken care of. You're good financially. This should close the door on a lot of other schools wasting your time with offers and phone calls. Let's focus everything on Tennessee. Let's try to get to a Final Four. Like, Bruce Pearl with this team at Auburn this year making a Final Four, like, and Frank Martin doing it a couple years ago, I think now if you're Philip Fulmer, it's like, hey, you're better than these guys, or at least right there with them. We have more resources. We have better fan support than Auburn and South Carolina. We need to see a run like that soon. And we'd like to see a stable program in the process.
I think what you're doing by paying him this amount is saying, we appreciate how you rebuilt us to this stage, but we also expect you to now continue, you know, build the second story and the third story and keep going.
And I think that's a really good way to look at it. And I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you should feel really, really good about that. Because I don't think any of us And Tennessee's weird, right? Because, like, we've never done it. We've got one Elite Eight in school history. Never been to a Final Four. But I don't think anybody, even outside of Tennessee, looks and says, oh, the ceiling at Tennessee is an Elite Eight. Like, this is a program, like, rich in tradition. It's weird because in football and basketball, Tennessee is essentially all-time, like, second best. Second best to Kentucky in the conference in basketball, and second best all-time to Alabama in the conference in football. So you're kind of second fiddle in both sports, but as far as staying power in both, man, you've been right there. It's just when we have a good coach, something always seems to happen. With Rick Barnes now, I think you've got a good coach. You're paying him and saying, this is really good. Thank you. There is no ceiling here. You can win a national championship here in basketball. You have the money. You have the facilities. You have the locker room. Like, you have everything you could possibly need. Now you have your finances taken care of. You don't have to be looking at other jobs thinking, oh, is this a better situation for me? Like, we want this to be your dream job. So make it your dream job. Cut down some nets. Raise a trophy over your head and be the last team standing. Get us to a Final Four. Win an SEC tournament. Good God, please win an SEC tournament. Like, now there's no excuses. Like, Rick Barnes can't feel taken advantage of by Tennessee, and Tennessee at this point can say, they're not going out on the recruiting trail. That ain't happening anymore. Sorry, you have expectations now. I don't know what deal you made with Dave Hart and John Curry, but now that I'm paying you all this money, and as a former coach here myself, I know that recruiting is a huge, huge, huge deal here. You're going to be out recruiting. So, yeah, the expectations change. And that's fine. It should be that way.
Yeah, same, I mean, that's, same way, that's how you get to the next level.
If Pruitt makes a really big jump, let's say Pruitt has a magical season. They go 9-3 or 10-2. You better believe that Philip Fulmer is going to be right there with the checkbook saying, this is good. Here you go. Let's take it to the next level. You want a new secondary coach? Gotcha. Oh, you want something at the practice facility? Oh, Craig Fitzgerald wants to redo the weight room again? Let's do it. Let's get it. Whatever you guys need. But with that comes more expectations. With that comes, hey, a top 15 recruiting class is good. Let's get us in the top 10. Let's get us in the top 5. It's an effort thing. We have the product to sell here. Let's make sure we're selling it and playing the recruiting game the right way, because that's how you win here. You get the athletes in, boom. Magic happens, as long as they're well-coached. I mean, hell, even stupid Butch Jones got damn near 10 wins because he got the athletes in here.
Yeah, that part.
They didn't even
be.
Football, and they got 9 wins. So if we got a guy who can football and recruit like that, we should be good. Same thing in basketball. The expectations have changed.
Well, as we kind of wrap up the Rick Barnes question, make sure to go to Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and vote in today's Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question. If it's true that Rick Barnes reached out to UCLA, does that change your opinion of the situation? It's pretty split right now. Go vote. We'll update the poll results as we go through the show. Russ says, we went out and supported him and his team, or in this team, like no other. Then he goes out on a job hunt. I'm confident he could have asked for a raise and got it if that's what he was all about. It was more about him not wanting to stay at Tennessee.
I see. I don't think that's it. I think it's about he wanted to go to UCLA. I just think that's what it was.
Chris,
he turned down Arkansas. Like, I just think it was UCLA. If it hadn't have been UCLA, we're not having this conversation.
Chris says, lost a lot of respect for him. I don't know. People are going to be all over the map on this one. It's pretty split. It's a 40-60 split right now. Make your voice heard at Fox Sports Notch. You can vote right there. When we come back, I'm going to turn this conversation to a little football. We've done this a little before, but David Ubbin put out his projected depth chart for the fall on offense yesterday, defense today, just now. And he's even projecting players that didn't go through spring, which is nice to see. So this is like at least a best guess is what the lineup could actually look like when Tennessee laces them up and kicks off football season 2019. We'll shift gears to that next. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Final segment, hour number 2. Going to get into some football talk here, but wanted to get your reaction. I mean, it is Fan Run Radio. We love to hear from you on Twitter and on the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Mustache Vol apparently had a video with a quote from Rick Barnes from during the season. Yeah, January 19th, 2019, where Rick Barnes said, best fans in the country, love you, you know, on the mic and everything. And then Mustache Vol then quote tweets that to us. This is what makes him calling UCLA first hurt the most. That's it.
Well, I don't think it was like UCLA has great fans. I think it was John Wooden.
No, yeah, I agree. I just wanted to...
Well, I'm just kind of showing the difference. Like, I know how it feels, but that's not necessarily what it was.
Yeah.
That's all.
Makes sense. You can vote at Fox Sports Knox on the Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question. Let's talk some football.
Thank God.
David Ubbin has put out his projected depth charts. Now, I get annoyed because with college sports in general now, I used to play a lot of fantasy football. I mean, a ton of fantasy football. And you could go to you could go to Roto World and dive into all the NFL depth charts. They were always up to date. I mean, it's actually pretty tough to do that just for the National Football League, and make sure that they're always like aligned with all the moves that get made. Obviously, the draft's coming up. All that stuff is kind of a nightmare for that type of stuff. The frustrating thing for me, though, is that in college football, especially now, even if you wanted to dedicate all of those resources to putting depth charts together for even just like SEC teams, you still really can't be right until the teams start playing games. Which, at that point, it's not as important because we can all see that on the field. So I do appreciate people that go through the exercise of not only trying to create an accurate depth chart, but one that even goes ahead and adds the new players onto it. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to get that information from Jeremy Pruitt. You're not going to get that information from Tennessee. In fact, you're not going to get that information from any college anymore.
Not publicly.
Because they've decided that we don't have to give it out, so mm-hmm. why would we? Now, a lot of Tennessee's depth chart is pretty stable. We kind of know what we're going to get, we think, after spring practice. But then there's a few spots where there's a lot up in the air. You know, on offense, quarterback, Garantano, Shrout, Maurer, man, that seems pretty simple. I do think the two backup guys are still kind of could get flip-flopped at some point. But it definitely doesn't seem like there's any challenges at the top. You got a running back. You got Ty Chandler as the one. And then you'll like this, Houston. Ubben lists Tim Jordan and Jeremy Banks as 2A and 2B.
I mean, is it wrong to say that Banks is kind of the combo of Chandler and Jordan? Like, he doesn't have quite the speed or the shake of Chandler, but he has the toughness and the grit and the bulk of Jordan. Right? Like, he's obviously not going to do the things that Ty Chandler can do, but he is a little bit faster. Maybe, I guess he is bigger than Tim Jordan. Like, it seems like if he can hold on to the ball, Tim Jordan may be losing carries pretty quickly to Jeremy Banks. And depending on who you're playing against, right, depending on what type of offensive philosophy for this specific game, again, if he can hold on to the ball, I realize that I'm, like, the biggest Jeremy Banks homer probably in this town, but if he holds on to the ball, he's probably the best you got, like, top to bottom, as far as a three-down back, a four-down back, because he can do things between the tackles that I just don't think Ty Chandler can do. He doesn't have the home run speed to the outside that Chandler has. He's probably not quite as good catching it, but he's way better than Tim Jordan catching it. I just think top to bottom, he's probably your best back if he holds on to the football. I mean, he demands the ball if he can hold on to it.
Yeah, I don't think he's a combo of those two at all. I think he's better at the Tim Jordan stuff than Tim Jordan. I mean, like, the power part.
I'm just saying, like, those two kind of combined is what you get with Jeremy Banks. Like,
yeah,
Tim Jordan's just a thumper. Jeremy Banks can thump. Ty Chandler is mostly a home run hitter. You get a little bit of that with Banks, just not quite as much. I just think, like, he's more dynamic than Jordan, and he's just not quite as fast as Chandler. He's kind of the middle ground between these two.
I mean, every time he gets the football, like, good stuff happens, and less
until he puts it on the ground. But no,
it's like right out of Friday Night Lights.
If
it's crazy.
If he holds on to the ball, he's stealing carries from everybody. I think he's that good.
Yeah, Eric Gray is listed as the fourth option. Obviously, he was limited in spring practice, the true freshman. You know, from in-state here, we'll see how much he can get maybe into the rotation this season. At receiver, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about Callaway, Jennings, and Palmer. If those are the three that roll out, if they're all healthy to start the season, I mean, that feels like an SEC receiving core. I mean, I would love to have a guy that you knew if you complete a four-yard pass and there's four more yards around him that he might, you know, jitterbug out of it and take it to the house. But, I mean, we don't necessarily have that player, but all three of these guys can make big-time plays.
Yeah, it's just different. I think Callaway can do that against certain teams, right? Like, we saw him do that against Georgia Tech. We saw him do that against Florida. Last year, it was a lot more vertical game for Callaway than the short stuff and then try to do something with it. I think that's probably due in large part to a change in the offense. Jim Chaney likes to go vertical. He likes to – I mean – it depends on how you want to say, you know, separate the field. But I know with Tyler Bray, he really loved that kind of mid-range. It wasn't necessarily over the top, but he's not running 5-yard ends. He's running 10-yard. He's running 15-yard posts, things like that. Like, he likes to kind of stretch the field. That's where I think Callaway can be really, really good. Jennings, same type of thing, except he's a catch it and run somebody over, not run away from anybody. And then Palmer's kind of the wild card. Like, I think he can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see kind of how he fills his role this year and where they end up putting him on the field. Because Juwan's been an outside guy, but last year we saw him a lot in the slot. Do they move Palmer to the outside and he's kind of your vertical home run hitter? Or do they try to do different things with everybody and shift them all around? That was the beauty of what Chaney did when he had, you know, Hunter and Rogers and Cordero. Like, he just moved everybody around to get them in positions where they could be successful, and he was able to take advantage of defenses. He did the same thing when DeRick was here. He'll probably move all these guys around, but I like Jim Chaney's offense for this group of receivers.
Ubben on his depth chart has Jordan Murphy right behind Palmer and says that Murphy might be the fastest player on the team. So if the line can block just long enough, it might allow Murphy to get a chance to get downfield and create some separation.
Didn't see much of Murphy last year. He had the end around against Kentucky, showed the speed. But maybe he's a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere and could be the deep threat.
He also talks about how Bird's probably the best blocker on your line. I mean, your receiver.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, he played defense most of the time in high school. Like, he played a little safety and a lot of corner. Like, he's not afraid to hit you. He had a big catch in the spring game. Maybe this is the year, like, the disappearing Tyler Bird reappears and he actually does some stuff. I've said they should probably try him at running back a time or two, but I guess he's stuck at receiver. And then, again, another wild card I'll throw out there is Ramel Keaton. If he's healthy over the summer, I think there's a chance he could at least crack into the rotation, but I don't know how far along he is in kind of his recovery. He got a little dinged up senior year of high school, but I like his skill set.
The first possession of the orange and white game for Tennessee, it was Jennings in the slot on every snap with Palmer either on the outside, or there was one play where they went trips and it was Callaway on the far outside, then Palmer, and then Jennings closest to the line. They also, you know, flexed out Dominic Wood Anderson some in the spring game, of course, as well. But it would seem like, based off that, best guess right now would be that Jennings is still your going to be your slot, kind of the physical slot receiver that we've seen more and more teams go to. So I don't know. I'm excited about the receivers. I think a lot of that has to do with quarterback, of course. We'll come back, kick off hour number three, and talk some more Vols football on the flip side next.